Would you take your Bibles with me and turn to 1 Peter, please? Book of 1 Peter. So I've been meditating for quite some time about what the Lord would do here. The Lord just kept on bringing me back to this idea of faithfulness. As I've been meditating about the 50 years that this church has been here and the 50 years that folks have been serving here, I'm reminded that every person that has greatly influenced me in my life has been someone who's been faithful.
Amen.
Yeah, true.
Every hero that I have in Scripture that I look to for times of comfort and encouragement, they were faithful.
Hey.
So we're going to talk about this subject tonight, the mindset of the faithful. What causes a person to be faithful? What causes a person to go through trials, to go through tribulations, to go through suffering? And no matter what is thrown at them, they have not only a higher purpose, but they serve someone that is preeminently above everything that is. What causes them to go through what many couldn't endure for just a few moments?
Right.
The mindset of the faithful. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to start in the last verse of 1 Peter chapter 3, and then we're going to go into the chapter 4 and read a few verses there. But I so love my family, Pastor Jerry, and I know many of you call him Pastor Ross, and the truth is I haven't got that habit down yet. I'm working on it. But Pastor Jerry mentioned my bride, and she has stood by my side these 8 years, and even before that as we served the Lord at Curtis Corner Baptist Church, and she has been such a blessing, and I want to praise the Lord for her publicly tonight, and the children, and I'm praying that their hearts would be just joined to the Lord at a very early age, and that they would never try to take back their heart from Him. And I would be so indebted to you if you'd pray for our family. We sure would appreciate it. I know you do, and I want to be grateful for that prayer. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 22, the Bible says this: who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye sober. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this time that we've had together. Thank you for the wonderful message that we heard just a few moments ago. Thank you for the encouragement that we received, Lord, to be remaining as savor and salt. Lord, I ask you that you would encourage us in this time, Lord. You know my frailty. You know that I have no power in of myself, and in the flesh there is no good thing. Nothing could come from the flesh this time. I ask you that you would take control, and you just use me as a messenger tonight. Lord, it's in Christ's name that we pray it. Amen. As we read through the book of 1 Peter, The truth is, the Lord multiple times by inspiration uses this word suffering. And he mentions it multiple times throughout 1 Peter. And the truth is, Peter knew what suffering was like. The church, the early church, as Peter is writing this by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the church was suffering. They were being persecuted for their faith. And one of the most encouraging things about this book and also others in the Word of God is that the Lord gives us the assurance that our suffering could be used for His glory, and that He could take our suffering and make it into rewards and be transformed into something glorious that He can use for His kingdom.
Right. Good.
It's amazing to see here, as we read verse number 22, we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God today, ever interceding for His saints. But the truth is, before He went back to heaven, He suffered for each and every one of us. And the Bible teaches in chapter 4 and verse number 1 that we need to arm ourselves with a certain type of mindset. And I believe it's the mindset of the faithful.
Yeah.
The truth is tonight that as we go through suffering, suffering does not automatically bring glory to God unless we submit ourselves to the Lord through our suffering. The truth is, and maybe you've been touched by this in your life, where someone suffers and that suffering brought them out of the will of God. The truth is, it didn't have to bring them out of the will of God, because God's grace is sufficient for us through any suffering that we go through.
You're right.
It's the mindset of the faithful.
Amen.
I mentioned every hero of my faith went through something, some type of pushback from the world, or even a brother like Abel. You understand that Abel had pushback from his brother, and it brought him to a place where he gave life truth.
Yeah,
right. Noah. Oh, we could talk about Noah tonight, who is called a preacher of righteousness. Right. And I believe it's in this book here. A preacher of righteousness. Right. And how many people got on the ark with him? Boy, I've went to the book of Noah so many times as I look at our ministry. And maybe, as it was already mentioned, Sunday nights roll along and you're like, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do tonight. But would you please help us? There might only be our family in church. We've been through nights like that. But how many people got on the ark with Noah as he preached righteousness?
Right.
He had the mindset of the faithful. Think of Abraham, Father Abraham. He was faithful and he kept his eyes on a heavenly kingdom. We see Job, and Job said, when I am tried, it's going to come forth as gold. And let me encourage you tonight, Christian, we do not base our Christianity on explanations from God. We base our Christianity on the promises of God's word. Because if we're waiting to understand everything that God's doing, the truth is, you can't understand it. You can't fathom it. It's high above anything that you and I can intellectually wrap our mind about. And if it weren't that, then we wouldn't be following God. Jesus was faithful, wasn't he?
Yes. Right.
We have a faithful Savior. And if he wasn't faithful, not only could you not be reconciled to God, but you wouldn't be able to stay reconciled to God, because right now in heaven, there's an interceder that is praying for you. And he is ever interceding on your behalf, because you have a faithful Savior.
Good. That's good.
Oh, he's a high priest, but he's faithful.
Right.
Truth is tonight, if we believe the Bible, that faithful Savior one day is going to be sitting on a white throne. And his presence is going to be so glorious that the earth and heaven will flee away.
Right.
And there's not going to be a place to hide from our faithful Savior that day. And all the dead, both small and great, whether kings, whether priests, if they are unsaved, are going to stand before our Lord, and the books are going to be opened. And the dead are going to be judged out of those books. And the book of life is going to be open. And if we truly believe that our God is faithful, He is going to keep His word as it pertains to eternity.
Yes, sir.
True.
The reason why I'm here tonight, I've already mentioned, is because there's faithful servants that God used. Truth is, we're going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ someday. But are we going to have the faithful mindset until we see Him? Let's look at just one of the four points that I'd like to bring tonight. And I believe that these are really keys that open up our understanding of how to remain faithful. But I want to see number one, as we look at the Word of God tonight, I believe that God wants us to have a warrior mindset. Because if we do not have a warrior mindset, we are not going to be prepared to destroy sin when it comes for us. We're not going to be able to be prepared to destroy temptation when it comes to us. Let's look at verse number one again. For as much then as Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time to the lust of the flesh or the lust of men, but to the will of God. For in times past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness. So all of us understand that we had a past life. But something that's going to keep us faithful in the future is understanding that our past life is going to call to us, but it is not worthy for us to turn around to pay attention to that past life. This idea here of having a warrior mindset and arming ourselves, it's like a soldier who gets his equipment on. It's like a soldier that puts on his bulletproof vest. It's like a soldier that puts on his belt where he's got his gear. It's like a soldier that gets his ammunition in a place where he is ready and it is accessible to defeat the enemy. And the truth is tonight, Proverbs is still true. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if we are not meditating on the fact that we are on a battlefield, and that we are in a warfare, then we'll forget, and we can be blindsided when our past comes calling into our life. You see, it's easy for Christians, and it was touched on tonight in a marvelous way, but it's easy for us as the world grows darker. Boy, our eyes start to adjust to that darkness. And the things that we thought were wrong, we start changing. But the faithful, the person that has the mindset of the faithful, he's going to be yielding his instruments, his members as instruments of righteousness. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 13, a wonderful, wonderful picture of what we are as Christians. The truth is the Lord has called us to be on his side, and he is our captain. And he said this, I don't want you to yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness anymore. I want you to take your instruments, your mind, your will, your emotions, your ears, your eyes, your tongue, your hands, your feet. I want you to take all of those members that God has given you. You used to serve sin. You used to serve unrighteousness, but now I've called you out of the kingdom of darkness. You're in the kingdom of light. Arm yourself with a warrior mindset and use everything that you have to combat the darkness that is in this world. You see that word instruments there? Instruments of righteousness. That's talking about an implement or a tool for offensive warfare. That means that if we sit back and we're not taking an approach that is proactive against the warfare that we are in, we will lose battles. You see, sin is devastating. You say, Pastor, how do you know that sin is devastating? Well, did we see what it did to the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, it pleased God the Father to bruise Jesus. Why was God so pleased to bruise his son? It's because Jesus was made sin for us. When we go back to the cross
And we remember the pain and agony that Jesus went through. And the devastation that sin caused the perfect Savior, the Redeemer. And what Jesus had to do to conquer sin for us. Then you know what we're going to do? We're going to rid our homes of anything. Anything.
It's good.
That could be a stumbling block. Or start a habit. In our family.
Good.
Jesus suffered for sin. So that we could be redeemed. I remember, it's been a while back, but it seemed like we had some scissors and some craft things in our home. And it seemed like those scissors always ended up in the worst hands. I don't know how it happened. We would throw scissors away. And somehow those scissors would be in the hand of somebody that was very skilled in causing destruction around our house. I mean, hair would get cut. People might have thought, looking at our daughter, you know, she was trying out this new style. No, it was, she was experimenting the devastation of sin. I'll tell you what, man, we threw scissors away. I said, honey, there's got to be a way. There's got to be a place in our home where we can rid ourselves of this challenge. I'm telling you, clothes would be destroyed, blankets. Thankfully, I never picked up a suit jacket and looked through it. But I'll tell you what, if you start remembering the devastation that sin had on your life, and if I start contemplating, now we don't want to stay there for too long because we'll get discouraged. But we go back and just briefly remember how sin has hurt people in our life and how sin has hurt our Savior.
Right.
We're going to rid our homes of it.
Good.
Hey.
Good.
You see, suffering doesn't always bring glory, but suffering can bring glory as we submit ourselves to the Lord and to His will. We see, number one, that we have the mindset of a warrior. And I'm skipping through some of this because we do not have time. Somebody said, don't bring a 6-point outline to a camp meeting just recently. And I only had a 4-point, but people that my family will know, we can have some long services, can't we? See, we have a warrior mindset, and that is that we are preparing our mind for battle, but we also have to have a ready mindset. And what does that mean? Understand this, that as our lives change, and as God molds us into the image of Christ, people around us aren't going to understand what's going on in our lives. Just recently, a family started coming to our church, and before they were a family, they got saved. They got baptized in our church. We married them in our church, and something incredible started happening. As what happens in the Christian life, their lives started to change.
Hey,
tonight they're serving in the church as we are gone.
Hey,
and it's so exciting to see that. But you know what's very interesting? The world doesn't care when their families are drunkards. They don't care when their family is addicted to drugs. They don't care when their family's immoral. But you let a family member get saved and get their life sanctified and they start looking different and talking different and sharing the gospel, then, oh, watch out, the ostracization takes place.
Amen. Right. Right.
That same family. We're praying that family's sister would, the Lord would work in her life. And I know that the Lord is working. The truth is, the world thinks that we're out of our mind tonight.
Right.
I was talking before church, and the truth is, if the world thinks you're out of your mind, you're in pretty good company because they thought our Lord was out of his mind.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Oh, they thought Jesus was behind himself. They thought Jesus was mad.
That's true.
But we've got to be patient with the world. Because the truth is, isn't it true tonight that Satan is still blinding the minds of them that believe not?
Right.
So as the Lord is changing us, we have to remember that they don't have the Holy Spirit of God teaching them the truth of God. They don't read the Bible. So as we are having a warrior mindset, we have to understand what the battle is, and we got to make sure that we're on the right battlefield, because the Bible still says that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness in high places. So tonight, as we meet here tonight as a church, we look around and we see people that are still clothed in flesh and blood, and we can look at each and every person and say, "You're not my enemy."
That's good.
Sometimes in our home, we get frustrated because people aren't doing what they should do. And we got to remember, our family member is not our enemy.
Good.
Come on.
That church member is not your enemy.
Right.
We've got to be patient with the lost. We've got to be patient with our family, because there is still a spiritual battle going on. So we have to have a mindset that is ready to describe why we believe what we believe. Anybody remember the scripture that teaches that my people are killed because there's a lack of knowledge?
Yeah.
Right.
And Satan is blinding the minds of those who believe not. Still tonight, somebody mentioned COVID this week, and boy, that was a weird time, wasn't it? Everybody's getting their Bible prophecy chronology calendars out during that time. People asking, "Hey, is that COVID vaccine? Is that the mark of the beast?" Like, no, I don't think it matches all the criteria of the mark of the beast. Oh, boy, we got to stay grounded, don't we?
Yeah.
We have to know what the Bible says about topics if we're really going to be a help and a blessing to one another. And I wonder if sometimes we don't want to get into people's lives, like on a deep way.
Yeah, right.
Because it might be we don't have the solution, the biblical solution to their problem.
Yeah.
And that's uncomfortable.
Mm.
But I mentioned COVID there, and I just want to remind us that we are not to be looking for man's approval. And I know that the Lord has been very good, and you know that as a church, but we've got to be reminded that we're not looking for man's approval with how the church operates. And that when it comes to questions about our faith, we are able to take the Bible and we are humbled to the Spirit, and we say, "Listen, this isn't my word that I'm telling you. This is what God's word says." Because man's judgment can be very wrong. I remember emails that I got and said, "I don't agree with how you're operating during COVID." And you know what? We just told people. We just said, we're just trying to follow the Lord.
Amen.
And if you're trying to follow the Lord and we're trying to follow the Lord, I think that we can come to some agreement on how we can worship the Lord together.
Good.
You see, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Yeah. And people's judgment is not what I'm looking for.
Right.
One day we're all going to stand before the judge. And I believe the faithful mindset is understanding why we serve the Lord and being able to communicate that to others.
Right.
Oh, so many times I was blessed by somebody who just said, "Brother, let me just show you what the Word of God says." And in love and kindness, they preached the truth with love and kindness.
Right.
We got to fear God and not men.
Right.
Number three, we've got to have a hope-filled mindset.
Yes.
So we have a warrior's mindset. We have a ready mindset to give an answer unto the people that ask about our faith. And then we have a hope-filled mindset. What is this talking about? We are looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the name of this church,
right,
Blessed Hope Baptist Church, is the idea that all of us should be ordering our lives, putting our priorities where they should be, looking to God's word and saying, "Is this an important thing that I should be doing?" Why? Because someday the Lord is going to come back, and we should be expecting and hoping. It's not a hope-so salvation. It's a no-so salvation. And it's not a hope Jesus comes back someday. It's an I know Jesus is coming back someday, and I'm going to order my life. I'm going to order my family. I'm going to order my priorities, because I'm expecting expecting that Jesus Christ will come back. And we look at verse number 7 here, and I know we're not going to be able to go through all these verses, but the Bible says, but the end of all things is at hand. Do you believe that tonight?
Yeah.
Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer.
Right. Yes.
We got to be clear-headed about this this thing.
Yes, sir. Right.
Because it's not about us. Right. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and our actions that we're involved in today. Our priorities that we lay out today are going to determine the rewards that we will see in the future as we look for the Lord Jesus Christ and His coming. How we serve today is going to determine how we're judged tomorrow.
Yep.
I love it here in 1 Peter. The Lord says to be sober. And, you know, it's very simple. It's just, let's keep our minds clear-headed.
Right.
Let's not get into wacky tangents.
Right.
Okay. It's amazing to me through those COVID years how many people that were in Bible prophecy and how many people knew exactly when the return of the Lord was going to be aren't even in church anymore.
Right. Yep.
Because they had an unbalanced position about the coming of the Lord.
Right.
And it breaks my heart.
Right.
And there's no condemnation for them. We've just got to keep a clear and steady head and not freak out when things happen.
Yeah.
The Lord hasn't called us.
Yeah.
You know, we live in a city of 80,000 people that need the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hey.
I believe it's around 82, 83,000 people. We are not even scratching the surface. And sometimes we look at big population centers and we say, well, I don't want to go there. But the truth is, the Lord didn't call me to go build a bug out spot.
Come on now.
In the other part of the world and hunker down.
Right.
The Lord has called me and He's called you as a Christian to be shining brightly to where people can see you and then they can give glory to God.
Right. That's good.
Come on.
Hey.
See, I don't know how much time I have.
Right.
Been working on some life insurance for my wife. I'm 39. I'm going to be turning 40.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah, it's getting bad, folks. You don't have to look too close to see some gray hairs coming through. But the truth is tonight, I could be gone tomorrow.
Right.
You don't know how much time you have.
That's right.
But how do we apply looking towards the Lord and expecting His coming? Lastly, this is number 4, and we're going to go very quickly through this. If we do not have not only a warrior mindset and not only a ready mindset, we do not also have a hope-filled mindset, but if we don't have a fervent love mindset, what we're doing is we're hiding our talents. And listen, tonight we've been hurt in the ministry. There are people that we've loved and trusted that have went a different direction.
You're right, yeah.
I was talking to some folks this week, and there's expectations, right, that we have in the ministry. There's expectations. Oh, it's going to work out like this. And then what happens when those expectations don't happen?
Yeah, right.
If we have the mindset of the faithful,
yeah,
we're going to love people through those failed expectations.
Right.
See, the Bible says right here in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 8, above all things.
Good.
Now that's pretty powerful. I mean, on the list, we talked about priorities. On the list of priorities, God says, I want this at the top of your list of priorities. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. And this is written to a church that was undergoing persecution. The Bible teaches that they were scattered abroad.
Right.
Why? Because there was hot persecution after them.
Good.
But the church was a place.
Yes.
The church was a sanctuary.
Right.
The church was a family where people could go that were suffering and hurting, and it was different from the world. The world was throwing people out of their family because they were accepting Jesus Christ. But the church was a place that was fundamentally different because people had a hot, fervent, overflowing love for one another.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hey,
that's right.
Our Lord had a hot, fervent love for us, didn't he? Our Lord had a forgiving love. And what is incredible to me that as Christians, having received the fervent love from God the Father, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever,
right. Come on.
I was a part of that whosoever.
Amen.
As a 10-year-old boy, I learned the faithfulness of a God that said, whosoever will.
Yes, sir.
Right, right.
But if we're going to have the mindset of the faithful, we have to have a forgiving type love. And do you know what that love does? It doesn't bring people's problems up on the surface. It realizes that, boy, Christ separated my sins as from the east, as is from the west. He took His purifying blood and the sacrifices of old, that blood covered my sin, and like the blood went over the holy seat in the Old Testament on that mercy seat right there. The Lord Jesus Christ, His blood cleansed away and made it white as snow. And in the church, if we truly want to have revival, I believe there will be a covering type love. It's where moms and dads will forgive children.
Yeah,
it's where children will say, Mom and Dad, I know that you're not perfect, but I forgive you and I love you. And there is nothing that can happen to make me stop loving you.
Hey.
It's where churches come together. The church comes together. The local assembly comes together and says, Brother, I know that you had a hurt recently. And I know God knows about it, but I'm not going to tell anybody else.
Right, right.
I'm not going to gossip.
Come on.
I'm not going to say,
right,
brother, we got to pray for this brother over here.
Right.
Right?
Come on.
Us guys do it too, don't we?
Yep.
We got to really pray for him. And then lastly, as far as this fervent mindset goes, there has to be a serving love. Each and every one of us have different gifts that God will use in His assembly. And they're not just gifts that He gave you at birth, but they're supernatural gifts that He gave you when you got saved. And maybe it is a gift that you had naturally, but it's a gift that the Holy Spirit will come and the Lord will convict you and say, don't use your flesh energy to accomplish this. I'm going to give you supernatural energy to use your gift in the local assembly to serve other believers in His church, in His body. We're all members of the same body.
Amen.
And these are serving gifts which are essential to the church. And I saw many behind-the-scenes gifts that people did this week. You know what I thank the Lord for? I thank the Lord that the Lord is keeping track of every single service that is done in His Spirit's power and for Christ's glory. He's keeping tracks of all those. And let me just say, God's the best bookkeeper through all of eternity. He doesn't miss one service that is done in His name by His Spirit.
That's right.
You're right. You're right.
How are we going to use the special enablings that God has given us? They're going to have to be done God's way.
Yep.
You say, Pastor, why would I want to be faithful? Well, I'm a living testimony of not only the heroes that I have in God's Word, but also heroes that are still living, and those that have passed on that have invested in me faithfully.
Amen.
Right, right.
But the greatest reason of all is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 7 says this, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne. Get this in your mind here, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever.
Amen.
You see, on that day, we will want to have been faithful to the Lord.
Yeah.
To the Lord.